Hello everyone and welcome to edition 247 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. Of course, the home of Team Lotus and all manner of Formula 1 connections. Martin Brundle, yeah, he's from here. Alex Albon, no, not so much. But there is a connection. George Russell, yeah, he's from down the road. Exactly, that's what it's all about. We are sat here at the beautifully sunny and summery Rushcutters public house on the outskirts of Norwich, of course, where Colin Chapman and Graham Hill once shared a pint. We've taken that as a suggestion and ingrained it as fact, and built the podcast around it pretty much. We are going out live on Future Radio as well as across all the usual podcast channels, and in our eighth season we are here to review the 2019 Austrian Grand Prix, and I think we can all say thank for that, we needed it. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there. Joining us tonight on the pod we have two times Beccles kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
And a quite busy man here in Norfolk, although I can't remember what his full-time job is, but a big F1 fan, Stuart Webber.
Yep, good evening, thank you.
Quite busy, aren't you?
A little bit busy, yeah.
You might have to dip out if the phone rings.
Nope, it's gone on, turned over now, so I won't look at it for an hour.
I mean, it'll only be about F1. It's not going to be anything else, in case anyone, you know, takes that the other way. How are we all? Are we well? Personally, me, I was on the podcast last week, so I'm still getting over the trauma of slagging F1 as if it was just the end of the sport. Literally, I think we drew a line through it and tossed the mic aside. But hey-ho, we're all back again. But in terms of real life, you've had fun in Budapest?
Yeah, had a stag doing Budapest, so just
still
about...
Still here, that's good.
Yeah, just about survived, and we all survived, so... Budapest seemed very lovely, and
well done for noticing. Good.
I'll have to go back and see it properly.
Yes. So. Classic. Well done. Good to have you on, Kyle. Stuart, how are you? Are you keeping particularly busy?
Excellent. Yeah, very busy at the moment. We had a nice weekend in London. That was nice. So, nice.
What did you do in London?
Well, in the London Eye.
Yeah.
And the aquarium. So that was very, very nice.
It's a beautiful way to spend a weekend.
But I was looking at thinking it can't have a Grand Prix here. We've got enough street circus, haven't we?
Like, could have an E-Prix.
Yeah. Sky Electric's in it, really. Blue life. But
Well, we might have to come on to that if Silverstone is canned, of course, but we'll get into that a bit later. Everyone's well. Let's talk about the Austrian Grand Prix then, shall we? Thank goodness, as I said, I don't think I quite said it like that, that we had a proper race and it really held our attention and all sorts. How much did we need that? And I guess the need is probably might be pertinent once we get into what actually happened. But in terms of what the race was, Kyle?
Yeah, big time. F1 needed it. It's not been... I suppose French Grand Prix, it was an awful Grand Prix, but it probably was a build-up of the year of Mercedes 1-2s. We just need something a bit different and a bit of action. And we, even without rain, Austria provided. Maybe the heat helped, but yeah, it's just a different winner and a battle at the front, and you couldn't ask for much more.
In fairness, Romain Grosjean, as I call him, felt that he was effectively driving on rain because he had no grip and he couldn't really understand how that was working. But I'm sure we'll get onto Haas at some point. How bad was France and how much was this necessary, Stuart?
Yeah, it needed it. Unbelievable. I mean, one thing I did disagree a little bit was Crofty when he said, oh, you know, all the texts I got last week and tweets and stuff. It's like, well, one good Grand Prix doesn't make up for that, you know. And if you look at this weekend, it was an amazing Grand Prix, and thank God it was, but also there's some mitigating factors. If Vettel car doesn't break down in qualifying, he's probably on the front row or worst case third, which means probably him and Leclerc off into the distance. So yeah, ended up being a great race, but I don't think that answers Formula 1. I don't think it fixes it, but I think what it does do, it gives all of us who love the sport, it reminds us why we do, and I think it probably reminds us why we're so desperate for to get more like that. There'll always be the odd boring race. There's always the odd boring football match, baseball match, whatever sport you like. You never go and always come back and go, what an epic. But I think probably this season it's been the worst I can remember. And after France, it was the first time I looked at myself as to, what am I doing? Wasting my time watching this. So I'm just glad that this weekend turned round and reminded us all why we love it so much.
Yeah, it's too true. We've got to get stuck into the incident because it's the key thing. It's the thing that everyone's spoken about and got involved in. I've just caught up on the whole race. I didn't just watch the highlights for anyone for this time around, and I got to see all the fallout and blah blah blah. So let's get we know what happened. Everyone's probably seen it now, between Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc at the end of the two laps to go, wasn't it? One. So, you know, key pivotal moment, etc. We've seen what happened. Kyle, did they get it right? Were they right to not penalise Max?
Absolutely, yeah.
You say it as if it's not even a debate.
It shouldn't be. It was a pretty clean overtake. He was hard, but fair. And the clerk tried to hang around the outside, and well, there was no room.
Yeah, but why was there no room, Kyle? I'm just going to put it out there. To me, I understand the pressure of, well, Max is one, we couldn't possibly penalise him, imagine the headlines, etc, etc. But for me, Max is, has, I thought the rule stated that he needed to leave him with room on the track. And to me, he's driven him off. I mean, when Charles can turn in tighter, which makes me think, well, actually, is Max then on full lock? How can he be if Charles can actually turn tighter? To me, Max has run him off the track and then got away. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, I really want Max to win the race. It was brilliant battle, etc., etc. But given what we've seen in recent weeks, I know the penalties were slightly different because people going off the track, etc., etc. But, you know, you've got to actually apply the rules. And for me, he eased him out of the corner because they were still level even when they got round it. Answer me that, Kyle.
It's a long question.
More of a rant.
Rant, like, yeah. I see your point, but
thanks.
If you don't allow that, then you're really going to struggle to make overtakes, because if he's going to have to let that car gap on the outside, he's probably going to have to brake a little bit earlier.
Yes.
And he's struggling to make the overtake, but he was alongside him. That was his corner at that point. And the clerk probably kept around the outside because he knew there was a runoff area to carry on if it went wrong. If there was grass or gravel, he probably would have gone, Max, that's your corner. I'll try and get you down to the next corner.
I think he would have hung out there because he knew that the other driver was supposed to leave him some space on the track. But Stuart, what do you think? And by the way, I understand. I don't think I've seen anyone other than someone wearing a Ferrari shirt who agrees with me so far. And I'm not wearing a Ferrari shirt.
Yeah, I think if it's any other driver than Max Verstappen, he probably wouldn't leave that room. But if it's Max Verstappen, you know he's going to come through. You know, like Fernando Alonso would have come through or whatever. So I think that's why Charles Leclerc probably did it. I think, I agree, if they start penalising for that, we've got massive problems. But I think it comes back again to the inconsistencies. You know, if you look what happened to Vettel in Canada, again, granted, a completely different incident, and I understand all the rights and wrongs, but you end up going, well, sooner or later, it's a bit like in football, we talk about you can no longer tackle. Soon it's going to be a form where you can't no longer overtake unless it's in a really straight line and you're 10 yards past him before the corner comes, and then you're like, well, we don't watch it for that. I think the modern day tracks cause a problem because Skyle quite rightly says it gives a runoff, so it gives the driver that opportunity, whereas a day, you know, maybe at Suzuka, he can't do that because you're banging around the grass, you're in the gravel, you're out of the race. But yeah, if they start penalising for that, then, I mean, they're doing their best to kill the sport as it is. So if they do it for that, then it's game over. I'll be honest, I was disappointed in Leclerc, though, at that moment, because I thought, perfect weekend, let's be honest, up until lap 5 to go, probably when he was getting caught up from Verstappen. And I actually thought he should have been more aggressive in that moment. I actually thought he put himself a little bit in no man's land as to, he didn't completely open the door and he didn't completely close it. And it's like, if that's the other way around, Verstappen isn't even leaving a gap, and it's like, you have to run me off the track. And that's, I was a little bit surprised as much as disappointed in Leclerc of, actually, I thought he made that a little bit easy for him. And after, it's all right sitting on the podium or standing on the podium with a sulky face, but it's like, you know what, mate, if it's the other way around, he's smashing you off and you're both out the race before he's letting that happen. So, yeah, I was surprised, but hopefully he'll learn from that. And again, you know, thank God that Verstappen had that attitude to make that such a, you know, exhilarating race, because if he would have been like some other drivers, notably say Hamilton, who just sat there sulking that his car was overheating and basically give up, it's like, might as well just come and sat next to me. At least Verstappen has the attitude of, come on, we can do this, and I thought that was, you know, quite refreshing.
It was a phenomenal recovery from his start, which was shocking, and I remember watching the start going, oh god. I mean, the youngest front row, wasn't it, in Formula 1 history, him and Charles, which is, I mean, we were all primed for having a really good race off the back of it, but I guess it just seems like an extra maturity in Max. I think we've seen it all year, but he probably hasn't had the chance to really put it on top pedestal in terms of in the actual race finish and achieving that big result. Also, in just his dialogue with his engineer as well. I remember last season thinking it was sort of a bit nippy, and they didn't seem to be getting on very well. And like, is it Jean-Pierre Lambesi? I don't know if I haven't pronounced it properly, but you know, he was a bit chippy. Why, yeah, he was a bit chippy. He's English, apparently. He was a bit chippy, at Max, and you know, like having a go at him to almost like get him to knuckle down. And but there's none of that now. I mean, the way he was egging Max on, it harmonious, I think, and it would be interesting if Red Bull kind of get the car going now over the second half of the season, at least to see them push a few people.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, last year kind of felt like teacher and naughty schoolboy, sort of. He telling what he's doing, what he's doing wrong. But yeah, he's probably been the best driver so far. And like, so he's probably had a lot of boring races of him just doing the best he can, the Red Bull, but can't compete with the front two teams. And how far he's ahead of Gasly is that's quite scary. But I do wonder, do you reckon his start kind of helped him win the race? Because if he'd have been second behind Leclerc, would he have just gone in the whole pit stop pattern of maybe trying to undercut Leclerc, gone in early and just been the race as it was? But the fact that he had to try something different and pitted later and his tyres were that much fresher the second half of the race, maybe it was a little bonus, his start.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that. I think also, you know, it's a great point that Honda have won a race for the first time. Was it since Jenson Button in 08 or something?
Oh, I was going to put that as a quiz question to see if you got it, but you obviously did get it, and I'm not surprised, given you idolise the man. But yeah, it was the first first win for Honda. I did write it down. I'm now struggling to find it. First win for Honda since Jenson Button in Hungary in 2006.
2006. There you go. But hopefully that again bodes well for the shorter term future of the sport, that, you know, a Honda, okay, again, one race and it's a track which is a little bit different, but you know, are they on their way back, you know? And because we need that, don't we? The sport needs that, you know. It needs Ferrari, it needs a Honda engine, it needs, you know, obviously the Mercedes, it needs, we need more and more teams competing, don't we, for the benefit of the sport. So hopefully that shows Honda that some of the work's paying off and maybe keeps infusing them to develop it further and keep investing, because we need it, I think.
On 60th win for Red Bull, so that's a fair old wedge, isn't it? I don't know how many Grand Prix, but I'm sure it's not a bad return. And the 6th win for Max, so a lot of symmetry there, which is great. And we'll see how the car develops, because once you know, Adrian Newey is has got a bit between his teeth and starts turning around a car, and the engine doesn't seem to be a particular issue, because Christ knows where all that pace came from late in the race, then fingers crossed, maybe we'll see them push. Brilliant. Okay, well, there's loads of ways to get in touch with us here on the NRF1 podcast. Best way to start is patreon.com/NRF1. You'll find loads on there. patreon.com/NRF1. And of course, if you want to listen to our bonus podcasts, we'll do a bonus one after this one. They are literally only $2 a month to listen to, and you're going to get a couple, because we do one after each race weekend. So make sure you have a look into that. The handles on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at the NRF1. And of course, we love getting your emails too. Send them to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. We are a one-stop pod, as is Formula One. Thought we should move with the times. Seems fair enough. Now, for this race, I thought we should talk about McLaren, because they had a cracking weekend. But on a slightly related subject, I got this box. I'm going to take a picture of this. I got a box sent to me. Now, those who were listening at the very start of the season will know we clocked Rich Energy. I thought, what the hell is it? Have you still drunk any Rich Energy?
I haven't, though.
No. So we don't think this the sponsors of Haas, aren't they? Title sponsors of Haas, aren't they? Produce a drink that isn't available. But you can buy it in a crate for £30. And we will probably do that at one point. Or Rich Energy will get in touch, which they haven't. But the other sponsors, we were going around, and then I saw Huskies Chocolate on Lando Norris's McLaren. I thought, whoa, I wonder if that's nice, Huskies Chocolate. I don't know. So we weren't really sure. And I had a little look into it and found out it was a specialist hot chocolate. You can buy it hot or cold, and you know, very exclusive. People in Norway made it, I think. Okay. So you know, it's for like special energy and whatever. I think they now got a partnership with Millwall Football Club, by the way. Anyway, got a box.
I imagine a lot of Millwall fans drinking hot chocolate.
Oh, they love that. A little cuddle up, watch the football and a hot chocolate. Used to be Ovaltine.
Dave, you want to go out for a chocolate?
Mate.
Not being too serious.
A few F-words. And yeah, no, not at all. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Great fans, to be
great
fair.
Fans.
So, we've got to send a box.
We love you.
No one loves them. I love them. We got sent this lovely box. I got sent this lovely box. And I'm now going to open it.
Oh, hello.
Now, I knew what it was because it's been in the fridge all day, but you guys didn't. So it's a card.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy your Husky chocolate. High five from the Husky chocolate team. And nonetheless, McLaren's official partner, Husky cold chocolate bottles. So there you go.
You have McLaren on it, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Official partner.
Little McLaren.
You don't spend all that money being an official partner and not get it on your bottles.
That's amazing.
So, These just arrived. I'll say that because should obviously a few people have missed it. I reckon we have a taste now. And
Drink well, Drink well.
It does say serve ice cold, but I didn't quite manage that because we're in British. So.
Pretty cold.
Thanks. I did try. Kyle, did take us through the experience.
Nice easy bottle to open.
Oh, God. Stuart's already having a smell.
Smells delicious.
Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah. Chocolate smell.
I mean, I don't know if this has got any major sporting properties, but of course, you know, could get a deal in, a deal done. Then you might get hospitality at McLaren or something.
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah. I'd recommend that. Husky hot chocolate, but cold.
I'm sure it's like it's a performance drink.
It's very good.
I feel
energised.
Good, because I've got a lot of pod to do.
It's very good. Is it going to be on the...
Hold that card.
Sorry.
That's right, talk.
Is it going to be on the coach next year for the players, or...?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Get it on the coach. Especially if you get a free trip around McLaren.
Yeah.
We'll put it
just you. Yeah, yeah.
Get Delia to eat, drink
which
it.
Which reminds me, we actually, just tell us briefly. Yeah, Carl's just going to open bottle for me. We are going to talk about McLaren in a bit. But you, reminds me, you did actually go around Red Bull, didn't you? And speak to Christian Horner and people like that.
Yeah, and Jonathan Whitley. So, yeah, really unbelievably fortunate to have done that. We went, Jake Humphrey sorted out. Who I think's been on the show, hasn't he? In many
years.
Yeah,
I ended up in his kitchen once. Yeah. to do it. Not I didn't just rock up.
Hello. I knew me. Yeah, so he set it up because you know he knew Christian from back in the day or whatever when he did the F1 and yeah, we got a tour of the factory and all the stuff, which was amazing, you know, because they took us into this one room where they were making the gearbox and you're not allowed to take any photos on it. And they were like, oh, literally, if you had a picture of this and sent it to Ferrari or Mercedes, this is like the bit that they all want to see and all the rest of it. And it's sort of fascinating. And then we were really lucky. We had an hour with Jonathan Whitley and Christian Horner, which was fascinating. You know, just listening to them talking about leadership and how they run their company and different, you know, sharing sort of challenges, you know, cross-sport challenges that we have. Obviously, we deal in my work with footballers. They deal with racing cars and all that technology and stuff, but it was yeah, really lucky and some really sort of good insight and probably what you expect, you know, like when you talk about attention to detail and stuff like that. They were just outstanding at it, and you can see like the standards that they hold and all the rest of it. But one thing which probably really stood out to us, because I went with a couple of my colleagues, was like the real pride in the brand of what they are. I don't mean Red Bull the drink, let's say, but Red Bull, what that company stands for. And every single person you met, from the receptionist all the way through to Christian Horner, you could genuinely sense they were proud to work there. They felt part of something bigger than just themselves, and a real determination to get back to the top. And you could see that, you know, it's like an obsession that this last 4 years of the hybrid era has hurt them, mostly probably because of the engine. But you can see that there's like a real steely determination to get back to the top. And you know, listen to him, I wouldn't bet against him, you know, certainly when the rule changes happen.
Outstanding stuff. Take a lot from that then in your current job?
Yeah, loads. You know, it's always about stealing ideas and just stealing sort of ways of working and stuff. And yeah, we took loads because we've just been doing a massive redevelopment of our training ground in terms of the facilities. So again, just some of the standards they set and some of their ideas, and you just think, which you can cross-reference, you know, in terms of standards and behaviours and that, you can do that. So yeah, brilliant, fascinating and lucky. And so I'm hoping to go to some more in the future.
Standing. Can't believe you didn't invite me. This is so rude. But there
we go.
Had
a Husky chocolate. You might have come. You know. Next time you can come.
McLaren trip.
Yeah,
the Huskies will sort that out. It is lovely, by the way. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So thank you, Huskies. I hope you've got enough plugs out of that. I can recommend. I don't know actually how you can buy it. That's the honest thing. I don't right now. But well, no, they sent it to us.
They sent it to us?
No, it's for free. Yeah, they sent it to us.
Oh, even more, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we could do with another box just to double check.
Hey, there's a football club waiting. You know, I think you'd literally be pushing up against an open door there, Husky.
Yeah, bring them in. Yeah. Premier League Football Club, we like to drink Husky.
I don't think you've got a hot chocolate official partner, have you?
No, we haven't, no.
Let's get Ben on the podcast.
We want one.
There you go, literally, I'm taking 10% of the deal, obviously in hot chocolate or cold chocolate, I'm not fussy. Thank you so much, Husky, for sending it this chocolate, which is no doubt performance chocolate, but it's... f***ing amazing. I've got to beep that, but that's fine. And to be honest, McLaren's performance at the weekend wasn't bad either, was it, Kyle?
It's pretty it's pretty damn good. Do we have to be nice to McLaren now? Pardon? Do we have to be nice constantly?
Oh, what, because of this? No! Screw that. We're still impartial. You can have nice chocolate and be a Formula One team, which McLaren weren't at the weekend, were they? Were they? What do you think they were?
No, they're very good.
There you go.
Especially Lando Norris. Even Sainz was having a good race until his front wing, a bit damaged on his front wing. But I think it looks like they're taking a step ahead of Renault, and they're now the fourth quickest team. And they're getting closer to the top three. And it seems just a well-run team now.
What's happened, Kyle?
I don't know.
We spent 2 years slagging them off.
I wasn't too sure about Zach Brown, but he seems to put some good people there. The guy from Porsche, Andreas Seidel, his name, who's now team principal.
Is he? McLaren?
Yeah.
Oh, missed that.
I think it's his.
Is that not Zach's job?
No, he's.
I lose track.
So he
get a lot of press releases from McLaren.
He came highly regarded from Porsche, and he seems to be doing a decent job. So, and again, you want McLaren at the front of Formula One. And especially as British motorsport fans, with Lando Norris there.
Oh, we do. And I mean, Lando, it's shocking taste in sunglasses, but it's not bad on the track, or for Lando, as I like to call him. And again, what is the second, sixth place finish already? In a car, he's probably getting the most. I mean, Sainz is not a bad driver, and he's probably outdoing him, to be honest.
Yeah, let's be honest, Lando Norris, what is he, just 19, I think? You know, in that car, I think he's overperforming the car. He's outperforming Sainz pretty consistently, which isn't easy because we know Sainz is quick. I think it's great. And like you say, for British motorsport fans, we needed this because this month we've had Hamilton obviously doing amazing things, which has been brilliant. But then, you know, we've had Max Chilton, obviously Jenson Button at the end, unfortunately, with what happened with his car. You know, like, it's been hard, isn't it, as a British fan? And at one point, you know, was it last season, we literally just had Lewis. And that's tough, you know, for someone who's had some amazing, famous sort of names in the sport. So to have Lando Norris on the way back in McLaren, which is, you know, one amazing team for our country, is great. And, you know, they need to be at the front of Formula One, don't they? It's a bit like Man United in football. As much as whatever you love or hate them, they need to be at the top end of world football because of Man United. And I think McLaren are the same in Formula One. They need to be there. And it's been, let's be honest, it's been painful watching what's happened to that team the last few years, especially when Alonso was there, because you're like, wow, a world class driver, and he's like going around in a Ford Fiesta or something. It's like it's great, but no, fair play. Lando Norris seems to get better and better, and he doesn't seem to be phased. You know, he took Hamilton on yesterday, didn't he, toe to toe for a bit, and that was great to see. And again, drove with massive maturity, though, respect for that. I think it's exciting that McLaren are on the way back.
I wish my Ford Fiesta did that. Also, obviously, you're very lucky that no football fans listening to it. We start talking about Manchester United and all sorts of, just, you know, it would be an issue on other podcasts, so it's fine.
It's all right,
no? Yeah, it's fine.
Just an analogy.
I can't. The chocolate's gone to my head. I
want to jump in a river and have a swim.
It is a lovely river. Regular listeners will know we're set by a river and a train line.
Drinking, exactly.
I can't promise this every week. That's, you know, I've literally only got a bottle left, and I don't know who's going to get that.
Maybe martini next week from Williams.
Well, Williams is up to you. You know, we're open to all sorts of. The idea was to go through various different sponsors that we didn't really know what they were. I didn't know what Husky chocolate was now, and now we know.
No, we don't.
It's good marketing.
And we'd recommend it.
We would recommend it to anyone who asked.
I have queried about getting a crate of Rich Energy.
Excellent.
But it's
doesn't exist.
Not yet. No.
I'm half convinced I'll pay £30 on eBay for this crate of Rich Energy and never see a can.
Well, I'm actually, have a link here, because I've actually got a Roman Grosjean signed cap at home, because a guy I was working with has just left us to go back to Australia. His best mate is Roman Grosjean's physio, so a little bit of a link into Haas, so maybe we could ask him if it exists and get Roman to send us some Rich Energy.
You should get him to do one of your talks at Cow Road for the football team.
Yeah, could have been winning or doing a bit better than he is at the moment.
Roman Grosjean. Fair play, McLaren fourth. We all look forward to seeing what happens going forwards. That's our pit stops. Just a little plug, we'll go on to the Norfolk Notebook in our Patreon bonus podcast. You know where to find that. Let's crack on with our Of the Weekend awards. started then, as usual. We know where we're going through. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend, who, well, is this straightforward? Well, I don't know. Yeah. Who would you give it?
Matt, yeah. You got to, really. But, that's what it mentions for. Norris.
Vettel. Deserves a mention, I think.
It wasn't his fault his car broke down, was it?
Nope.
Yes, he's not getting the rubber of the green. He can't even get his tyres out for his pit stops.
I mean, that's embarrassing. You know, at that level, you think, because that 6 seconds, he would have finished third, because he ended up being a second behind Bottas. So, yeah, it does matter, doesn't it?
Is there a bit? Does anyone feel there's a bit of maybe Ferrari not getting it right with Charles, or is it just a, because I mean, I don't trust Ferrari enough not to have, you know, missed a trick somewhere along the line.
In what way? What?
Well, was there anything Ferrari could have done to have made sure that Charles stayed ahead of Max?
No, I don't think so. I think what did play a part this weekend is, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there was a retiree, was there? And on an unbelievably tight track, the amount of lapping they did, because obviously they lapped all the way up to Gasly, I think.
Yeah. Got lapped by his teammate. Yeah.
Which is incredible. So that was, I think that played a massive part in giving people a chance to close people down, because it's a tight circuit. So if you didn't have the two sort of DRS zones to overtake, you're then stuck on that slower bit where you can't get past. So yeah, I think that played a part on the weekend and probably damaged Leclerc a little bit, because it wasn't as straightforward as, you know, right, you're 10 seconds there, just keep the gap. It was like, you're 10 seconds, oh my god, it's 6 seconds because you've just taken 4 seconds to get past two unlapped cars, you know.
Shout, Max, driver of the weekend.
Yeah, it has to be, yeah.
I'd agree. Team of the weekend, Team Lotus, team of the weekend, who excelled?
For me, McLaren.
Yeah. For reasons just stated.
Yeah, Sauber.
Sauber, yeah.
Alfa Romeo.
Double points finish, so Giovinazzi was first points.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Raikkonen qualify six?
He did? I got a bit confused with the grid. But he was yeah.
Yes, he was.
I think he won six, wasn't he? Yeah. Which is outstanding for that team.
It is indeed. Bang on. Although, wasn't Magnussen fifth? And then he got pin. I lost track.
Gearbox changed 5 places and then just went backwards to me. And then got drive through and
they forgot to put the engine in the car. I think
at one point he was racing with the Williams and it looked like it was even. You're like, what's? You must be having a bad weekend.
His post race interview was not pretty. I think he was daggers. Who'd ask those questions? Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, who blew it up? Well, Haas, I suppose, is one. You might not be allowed to say that, Carl. But anyone? Who else? Anyone?
Can you say Mercedes?
Yeah.
The high standards?
You say whoever you want, Carl.
Pierre Gasly.
Yes. Being lapped by a teammate.
On a track.
On a weekend where you really need to perform.
Yeah, that's... Because, like, you've got to remember, what was it? 65 laps or something, and it's pretty much fits 65 seconds to do a lap at the quickest lap time. So that's like a second a lap. Well, insulting anyone's intelligence. That's not easy on a track which is so small, is it? In the same car. Like,
Martin Brundle described it as seven corners, didn't he? So to lose a second on 7 corners is...
Wow.
It's quite a lot when you look at it that way, isn't it?
He doesn't strike me as someone who can do it under pressure. I feel like this whole journey has been about him being in... And it felt after a few races that the seat was too big for him. Then he had a sort of a comeback when obviously everyone had already assumed the seat was too big for him. And then he had a real weekend where he had to deliver... To be that far off your teammate. Yeah. I don't know when the last, I mean, maybe it happens regularly, but I'd like to know the last time a teammate was lapped by their own teammate who won the
without
race.
Without a major incident.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they were beside each other the first lap, because it must.
On the grid. At the start. They were in the garage at the same time.
Verstappen may have even dropped behind him.
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did.
So, go on, Pierre. I'll give you a head start. Go on. See you.
Other than that, he did all right.
Yeah, other than that, it was fine. And he still got the seat. Speaking of Monday, okay, that's a fair shout. Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. I mean, I guess obviously the stuff at the end, but was there anything else that caught anyone's attention? I'll probably flag up, there's some lovely Niki Lauda tributes, of course, over the weekend. The Niki Lauda curve, turn 3, wasn't it, renamed, or was it turn 1
where they had all the stand where it was like red and white?
Yeah, I think they normally have that, and then they put a sculpture on. I can't remember which turn it was that they changed. But, and they had a couple of cars, didn't they, in Parc Fermé when they came in.
It was amazing, all of the Verstappen fans as well, wasn't it? I mean, that's like a football following, wasn't it? Which, when I went to Barcelona, was like that. They had 2,000 in the stand, and it was like being at a football match, of like in a away stand. It was bizarre.
And Spa, they turned it into a rave after the race, which I don't know if they did that true as well.
Guido van der Garde.
Norfolk's own.
Posted a video, and it's like sort of 10,000 seater. A bit like darts arena, it looks a bit darts. full of Dutch fans all in orange watching the F1 on big screens.
No way!
And the crowd goes mental.
See,
you're like,
that is men.
You're like, geez, the following he has. And
they should take a Grand Prix there, shouldn't they? although they did take a picture of Max in front of the Max fans, and it 100% looked like he'd been superimposed on the front of it. It really did. I'm assuming it was a proper picture. Maybe they just used funny lighting, but it definitely looked like he'd just been stuck on it.
Didn't have the flash on the camera.
Yeah, it was probably that.
Check your lighting.
Really weird. But there we go. Yeah, fair dues. And you know what? I think the whole thing, just delivering a proper race, probably... did the trick, really, as we spoke at the start. Let's rate the race. I'm going to flag up Alex here because he was straight in. I think he gave it a 12, did he? He was straight on the group, which I didn't see,
that
thankfully.
That shows we're getting desperate, that.
Yeah?
That shows we're getting desperate.
You think? That's too high. Out of 11, bear
it's
in mind.
It's like your marriage going wrong and you make love for the first time in a year and go, you know what, this is amazing. And it's like, you know what, it's not really amazing. It's just we've had a good night and she was drunk and didn't know what was going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
You just got to be careful. Like, you know, don't go too low and end up, don't go too high.
Not too low, not too high. I mean, that's that transcends football and Formula One, that one.
But did enjoy it.
Okay, did so out of 11?
Definitely a 9.
Yeah.
Definitely a 9.
I'd say, I'm inclined to go 9.5. I was thinking about 10, but that might be too high. Stuart's not convinced. 9.8 maybe. I mean, I'll tell you what. No, I will go 9.5. I'm going to have to factor in Alex's 12 because he's actually submitted a rating, which so that's in now. I can't do anything about that. That's out of my control. Carl, what are you going to give it?
Probably 9.5.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was Azerbaijan's our highest, isn't
it? Yeah. Well, you see, I haven't quite caught up with our rankings. I know we gave Bahrain a 9, which seems a little generous. But I think was it a good race? I literally can't remember how it happened last week. So
it was a decent race. Yeah. Probably not as.
I was remembering Leclerc, was it broke down towards the end where he should have won?
Yeah, that's it.
That's what was a bit gutted from yesterday, because you're like, don't be the nearly man.
Well, when he's the nearly man, it's a good race, so I'll take that on board.
Yeah, I'll
be surprised if that hasn't been the best race of the season, but to be honest, I think it was the best race of the season. Obviously not, you know, the best we've ever seen. Not too high, not too low.
As good as, Belgium 96?
Well, no.
Was it 96?
98.
Poor, oh my God.
I think that's the one Rich always goes on about.
Is it the Hill Jordan victory? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's his favourite race, that, isn't it?
Ever.
Oh, I can watch that every night. Yeah. That and Buttons in Canada.
Yeah.
I imagine you. 11, was it? 2011?
Yeah.
Probably the Turkey when the Red Bull crashed and two McLarens come together. That's a good race.
Oh, heads up. digress. Heads up for Christian Horner, who, when Max won, came on the radio and said, "You're the man." And I was like, "Oh, we haven't heard you say that for a while,
and
Christian."
Max didn't reply.
No. You say that to all of them when they win. he'll be wearing the biggest smile as they take their private jet back from Spielberg.
Giovinazzi.
Lando Norris.
Yeah. I don't have to answer it.
His radio message was quite good. Did you hear the one when his engineer told to keep Ricardo within the DRS zone?
Like, what, forever?
Like, forever.
Forever. I mean, not even until the end of the race, literally. For all time.
You still follow him now?
Yeah. Still going.
I mean, that was a bizarre message. You sort of got the logic, but it was a bit like, it's like 14 laps to go or something. It's like, you can imagine, what are you on about? Just
try and get ahead of him or just sort of build
it up. To be honest, I didn't really understand what they meant. It was like, can you give him DRS but don't let him overtake you? So, like, stay within a second of him, I think he meant.
I think it's to stop then the guy behind having DRS with him not having it. But it's Gasly, so you don't have to worry.
That's why I don't work in Formula 1. You know, I can't get my head around it. There we go. Brilliant. There'll be much more chat about the Austrian Grand Prix, if there's any left, in our bonus podcast. Check that out at patreon.com/NRF1 right after this pod. And you know where to do that and how to do that because I spoke about it earlier.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. So normally we just preview the next race. I think we're going to keep that into the bonus pod if we may, because it's Silverstone, it's British Grand Prix, it's very exciting.
Very exciting. Could be the last one.
Have you been to Silverstone for the British Grand Prix before?
Yep. I've been... 98 was my first ever Grand Prix. I went there. Went to see Damon Hill, and I don't think he got round a lap. But where I sat, it was before they changed the track to what it was. Where I sat, it was in the rain, down rain. World Cup final day it was, 98, when France beat Brazil. But it was the one where Coulthard overtook Schumacher, and then two laps later, crashed. in the same corner, and he got hammered. I don't know if you remember, that's a long time ago, so don't blame me if you don't. But he actually got hammered in the media because he didn't wave to the fans. So he's crashed out, he's out of the race, and all the fans are like clapping, just walked off in a huff, got on a motorbike and went, and he got hammered for it. But it's when Schumacher won, sat in the pit lane. Because he had a penalty,
yes, that,
and he sat in the pit lane. So that was my first ever race, yeah, and I've been lucky to be a few times. I went, I went when, remember all the tyres were blowing up?
Yes.
That race?
Oh, yeah.
I was there for that, and I was at Stowe, so the bottom of the hangar straight, so literally they were like just coming up to you, just watching tyres just blow up. It was bizarre. Also, I don't know if it was that race, the one where Vettel was winning it by a country mile, and he literally broke down just after the entrance of the pit lane, and he's just sat there like sulking as whoever went to win. So I've been lucky. I've been there, been a few times. Seen Mark Webber win there.
Yeah. Not bad for number two driver.
Not bad for number two driver, mate. I'm only 21.
I remember I covered the British Grand Prix for a few years, and one year I had to deal with the sort of suspension in the blown diffuser, which is very interesting trying to write that for a mainstream newspaper audience about why that was all going on. I don't think I achieved it, but you know, whichever. There we go. We obviously went two or three years ago, didn't we, Carl?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Stuart. That was hell. We have to go again.
Definitely.
We're not going this year. Although someone did say they've got a ticket available for 100 quid. So, you know, maybe we should do it.
Where's that sitting?
I don't know. General admission, I think it was.
Not bad, 100 quid.
Yeah. It's not above value. Maybe we should go.
Well, yeah, it's Cricket World Cup final day as well. It's a big
don't care about that. No one's watching that.
Really?
No. Quick on that note. So we'll talk more about Silverstone in the other podcast. Of course, as we say, it's a crucial weekend in terms of probably the sport in this country, for all we know, in terms of Formula One. We'll get our full predictions in the other podcast as well, but I'll get one of you guys out of you now. That's the sentence. Just to go through the rules, no more than five predictions per person, and they must be submitted before the start of FP1. Anyone's allowed to submit their predictions. In terms of those who are patrons, if you get the best prediction of that race weekend, then you win a £5 credit to either the motorsport-merchandise.com or the Classic Team Lotus shop. We'll tally your total come the end of the season. You could get yourself a bumper bit of merch. Who wouldn't want that? Kyle, name's a prediction for the British Grand Prix weekend.
Albon will finish in the points.
Oh, so, do with that.
Yeah,
could do with that. That's a nice prediction. I like that one. I'm going to say McLaren will finish top seven. Oh, that's a shout, isn't it? I don't know if I agree with that, but I've said it now. Stuart,
Hamilton win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. <It's> going. on the back. You know, don't get too high, don't get too low. Go back to the standard. So I think that's fair play. Brilliant. All right. Well, in that case, I think we are done for this podcast. If you want to hear more from us on Austria, and as I said, our full Silverstone predictions and more chat, of course, plenty more, then that will be in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast, including Step on the Gas, although I think we might have done Pierre Gasly in this one. But don't worry. Norway for Lando. Yeah, I think we've spoken about him as well. And Contracted in Silverstone, which we will hopefully talk about. That and a whole load of extra content. Just check out patreon.com/NRF1. It should be with you straight after this podcast. But if you don't see it, keep checking back until EP247 rears its ugly head. We will return here with E248, which will be our British Grand Prix review, with another bonus Patreon edition to follow, all shortly after round 10 of the 2019 Formula One World Championships. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio. Thank you to the delightful Rush Cutters. And it's goodbye from the crew. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the chocolate. Stuart, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, buy Husky chocolate.
Cheers, Husky chocolate. Absolutely. Send us more Husky chocolate.
Big ball.
One of those machines. They do those. Anyway, this has been the NRF1 podcast. We'll keep waiting for that. That all feels a bit better now that we've got the Austrian Grand Prix done and dusted, and we could enjoy it. Now it's over to you, Silverstone. You know you won't let us down. Famous last words. Until then, good night.